By way of introduction this morning, let me present two scenarios to you. The first one is this. If your neighbor's house was on fire, you would throw everything else aside. You would not only take action, you'd take immediate action. If that meant calling the fire department, you'd do it in an instant. If that meant taking your own hose and hooking it to your spigot to try to do something, you would do it. But if your neighbor's house was burning, you would do everything within your power to do what you could do to take care to put that fire out or to get somebody there who could put that fire out. But post haste, you take action. Second scenario. You're standing in your front yard with your neighbor having a conversation. And in the middle of this conversation, your neighbor collapses. In less than a second, you take action. If that meant calling 911, emergency rescue, that's what you do. If you knew how to administer CPR, that's what you do. You'd run, you'd holler, and frantically, you'd get somebody to try to help your neighbor who has collapsed. But listen to me, in both of these scenarios, we not only would take action, but we'd take action immediately. Now, with these two scenarios in mind, I want you to think for a moment seriously about evangelism as it relates to those two scenarios. The preserving of property, your neighbor's house is burning, and the restoring of health to a body. Do you realize, and surely we do you realize that all of the houses in all of the world combined do not equal the value of even one soul? Do we realize, surely we do, that if we had the ability to walk into every hospital in America and heal every sick person there and restore their body back to health, that would mean nothing value-wise as it equates to the restoring of one lost soul to God. Here's how Jesus said it. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul?
to preserve property, to restore health to a physical body, we take action. We take action immediately. But what about souls that are sick, that are heading to a fire that'll never end? Our subject this morning, the four cries of evangelism. The four cries of evangelism. This morning, evangelism cries to you and to me as the people of God, and it cries to us from four different directions. I wish you'd write them down and hang them up. Number one, there is the cry from above. The cry from above. Turn with me to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and we're going to read that cry. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, in the 18th verse, Jesus said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, go therefore. Pause. Therefore. Based on the fact that all authority upon this earth and that all authority in heaven above has been entrusted to me, I have something to say. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And then in verse 20, teaching them. Listen, the cry of evangelism from above is go and teach. Go and teach. Now look at the command carefully. Jesus did not say that we had to have success with everybody that we talk to. The command isn't be successful. The command is to go and reach out. Jesus didn't say the command is not that you have to baptize everybody that you talk to. The command is to go and to teach. Brethren, the compelling cry from above is go. Go and talk. Go and reach out. Go and invite them to come in here. And this cry is a cry that must begin at home. This is a cry that begins with family. This is a cry that branches out to coworkers. This is a cry that branches out to friends. This is a cry that then branches out to those who make up our world. But the compelling cry of evangelism above is to go and to reach out. And the Lord wants to know, when are we going to be serious about this cry? There is a fable that said when Jesus ascended back into heaven, that he was met by an angel. And the angel said to him,
Now you've gone to earth and you've died for the sins of all men who will ever live, that they might be saved. But Lord, how is the world gonna ever know what you've done for them? Jesus said to the angel, well, I told Peter, and I told John, and I told Martha, and Mary Magdalene knows, and so they are going to go, and they're going to teach others what I did and why I did it. And then they've been instructed that when they teach others, that those others are then to go, and that they are to teach others. And then when they are taught, the others are then to go, and they're to teach others, and then they're to go, and they're to tell others, and it keeps going. And the angel said to the Lord, he says, but Lord, what if Peter gets too busy for that? What if Peter gets busy mending his nets? And Lord, Martha and Mary, listen, people have lives and people have families and people have jobs and people get busy. What if they get, Lord, tell me, what is plan B? And Jesus says there is no plan B. This is it. This is it. And the first cry, listen to me please, the first cry of evangelism is the cry from above that issues from the great white throne that echoes down the halls of heaven and fills this earth. The first cry of evangelism is from above, and it says, go and reach out. Number two, you with me?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
The second cry of evangelism is the cry from beneath. From beneath. We go, we talk, we invite, we encourage souls because we know that that was the Lord's cry from above. But we go and we cry and we invite because all of us know what happens when somebody breathes their last and hits the floor. It's the call that comes from beneath. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Jesus says here two men. Here's a rich man, and here is a poor man. And he actually names the poor man. Lazarus. The rich man, in spite of his riches, dies. Lazarus, maybe because of his poverty, dies, but they both die. But they continue to live. I said they continued to live. I said they continued to live. God will never be done with you. Never. Never. The rich man finds himself in torment and in punishment. Lazarus finds himself in comfort. Stay with me. Not only so, but according to verse 26, there is this great chasm between where the rich man is and where Lazarus is in the afterlife. There's this great gulf. There is this impassable ravine between them. And so the rich man says, well, send Lazarus, let him give me some water. And they said, no. It is at this point there is the cry that comes from beneath. In Luke 16, verse 27 and 28, then the rich man said, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers. Warn them lest they come to this place of torment. The cry from beneath is the cry, don't come here. The cry from beneath is the cry of you stay out of here. Don't you come here. You don't come here. You stop. You do what you got to do to change. You don't want to come here. That is the cry from beneath about evangelism. The cry from beneath is that we warn, we invite, we bring souls in because all of us know what happens if you leave here unprepared. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do you realize that every unrighteous person who has ever died and every unrighteous person that has gone into the abode of the dead and made his home with the rich man is crying out? Do you realize that they're crying out to us? Get out there. Tell them don't come here. Get out there and don't ever give up because you don't want in here. Unrighteous spirits reaching out to save souls and folk in the church won't do it. The cry from above. Go. Invite. The cry from beneath. Don't let anybody else come down here with us. Number three. The third cry of evangelism is the cry from without. The cry from without. In Acts, the 16th chapter is where it's at. Paul is in a little town called Troas. And in Acts 16 and in verse 9, Paul has a vision. And a man in Macedonia is calling Paul. And he says, come over into Macedonia and help us. Listen.
What kind of help does he need? In verse 10, Paul said, I took that vision to mean that God was calling us to go into Macedonia and to preach the gospel. The help that was needed was the preaching of the gospel. Brethren, people still today need the preaching of the gospel. If you are in my generation and you grew up in the church, and if you ever went to camp, or if you ever went to a Devo anywhere or vacation Bible school, there was a song that we always sang. And I grew up singing this song at every youth gathering in the church. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. My Lord. Kumbaya. And we would sing it. Kumbaya, my Lord. You know what the background of that is? Years and years ago, there was a missionary in Africa. And he just moved and stayed there for many years. And his main mode of transportation was a boat. And he'd get on that boat and go to a certain place, and he'd get out where there were populations, and he would preach the gospel and save souls and try to get people organized to establish a little congregation in a hut or just anywhere. And then he'd get back in his boat and he'd go to other places, and that's how he spent his life. But as he would travel from one place to another in the boat, there were many places that he couldn't stop. And so the people would stand at the edge of the water as he would go by them, and they would cry out from the edge of the water, Kumbaya! Kumbaya! Come here! Come here. Teach us. We want to know. Kumbaya. Come here to us. Listen. There are folk not only in Africa crying that, and not only in India or in China. There are people in Detroit who are crying that. There are people in Warren who are crying that. There are people in East Point who are crying that. There are people in Harper Woods that are crying that. There are people in St. Clair Shores. Kumbaya! Come here! Understand this. The majority of them will reject what you're telling them. I said the majority of them. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Don't invite me again. I'm not interested. But there are others who will. And it is not up for you or me to decide for somebody else what they might say. Everybody has a right to decide for themselves of what they will do with Jesus. The cry from above, the cry from beneath, the cry from without, and number four, the cry from within. In here, in here. In here. We know. We know. Paul put it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Paul said that the love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ constraineth me. What the apostle said is that it's the love of Jesus that controls me. I do what I do, I say what I say, I go where I go, Paul says, because it is the love of Christ. It was the love of Christ who was controlling Paul. Who is it that's controlling you? In World War II, there was a battle, a firefight. And there was one soldier that got caught between his side and the enemy in the middle of this firefight and was shot and went down. His best friend, who was a part of that platoon, told the sergeant, "I'm going out there and I'm getting him." And the sergeant says, "You're not going out there to get him. He's dead, and if you go out there, you'll get shot. You stay here till we get them back." But he disobeyed a direct order, and he went to his friend. And he bent over to his friend for a couple of seconds and then began to pull him, and then he was shot. When the firefight was over, the enemy had been pushed back. And the sergeant went to him and he said, "I told you, don't do this. I told you, he was dead and you'll die. He's dead and you're shot. And I said, don't do it." And he looked at his sergeant and he said, "But he wasn't dead when I got there." And the last words he spoke was to me. And he said to me, "I knew you'd come." Brethren, love will motivate us to do things that nothing else will. And when we are compelled, constrained, when we are controlled by the love of Christ, it is that control of the love of Christ over our hearts and our minds and our spirits that will motivate us to do things we will never do without that love. The love of Christ is greater than your fear. The love of Christ will cause you to go and to invite and to reach out and to help or to get somebody to teach them if you can't. The love of Christ will move you when nothing else will. To preserve my neighbor's house, I'm put everything aside and get with this. To restore my neighbor's health, whatever I can do. But what about his soul? Four cries. The cry from above that issues from heaven, go. Go. Well, I'm going to make a mess. Then go and make a mess. But go. The cry from beneath. Can you imagine the cries of those lost spirits? Don't come here. The cry from without. Most of who will say no. And you may get cussed. But you ain't much of a Christian if you ain't been cussed. And the call from within. A young preacher was standing next to an old preacher in a massive crowd of people. And that young preacher began to look around and he began to cry. And in a few seconds, he was just weeping bitterly. And the old preacher looked at him and he said, "Young man, what's the matter with you?" And the young preacher said, "Look at all these people. How many of these people are lost?" And the old preacher put his hand upon the young preacher's shoulder and patted him and said, "Young man, don't worry. You'll get used to it." And the young preacher looked at the old preacher and he said, "Mister, that's why I'm crying. There are some things we should never get used to. There are some things we should never, ever allow ourselves to grow accustomed to. There are some things that we need to stay on fire with God. It's evangelism. It's not me having to talk anybody, everybody into anything. It's me living my life, saying something about Jesus to somebody else. And if they don't want that, that's on them. That's on them. But I'm going to keep loving them, and I'm going to keep praying for them. Because every once in a while, you're going to find the one who says, 'You know what? I want to know more about that.'" Four cries of evangelism. They're crying for us this morning to do something. If you're here and if you're not a Christian, the souls from beneath are crying for you. You get this done. If you're away from God, the souls from beneath are crying. You got to fix this because you don't want in here. Because when you get in here, you can't get out of here. This morning. So you're trying to scare me. Whatever will work. Whatever will work. I'll go to heaven happy or I'll go to heaven crying. I just want to go. I'll go to heaven okay. I'll go to heaven scared. I just want to go. And so do you. This morning, if you're here, if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, step out, step forward right now as together we stand and as we sing.